they do not speak according to this word, it is because they have no light. Welcome back to Hackberry House, a podcast devoted to the Word of God and the persecuted church in North Korea. My name is Bob. This is podcast number 469. It is May 11, 2016. Well, today Spurgeon tells us all about the flatterer and Christians' eventual escape from him. Let's listen in. He says, there are so many other nets that I should not care to have to count them. He talked about a net that we can fall into yesterday and that they fell into. You young converts may meet with a person who will say to you, I hear you are converted. I'm glad of that. But where do you attend? So-and-so church. You should not go there. It's very well for some things, but there are higher truths that you'll never learn there. You should come with us and hear how we can explain the prophecies to you. And so, under the guise of desiring you to listen to prophetic truth, they'll lead you into some new form of error. Others will seek to win you to admire with them the splendors of outward forms and ceremonies. How many unwary ones have been thus allured to ritualism and Romanism? Certain others will say, oh, you should not have a minister. No, they cry down the Lord's shepherds were found on the Delectable Mountains and urge you to go where everybody teaches everybody. They are the people of God. They are not a sect, although 10,000 times more bigoted than any sect that ever existed. Beware, I pray you, of any form of doctrine or practice which would lead you from the place where you were born to God, where you have been nurtured in Christ, where you have been made useful and helped forward in the divine life. There are certain sects that only live by stealing members from other churches, whereas the aim of a Christian church should be to win souls direct from the world. These flatterers, for they are generally such, will tell you that you are too experienced to sit under the ordinary ministry. You're much too useful or too spiritual to remain in such a congregation. If you hearken unto them, you will soon find that leanness has come into your soul and that you are entangled in the net, for you've been drawn away from the truth as it is in Jesus by some creed of man's devising. I would warn our young members especially against that form of faith which holds only half the Bible, against those who proclaim the divine election but ignore human responsibility, and who preach up high doctrine but have little or nothing to say about Christian practice. I'm persuaded that this is another net of the flatterer, and many have I seen taken in it. They have ceased from all care about the souls of others. They've become indifferent as to whether children were perishing or being saved, have settled on their lees to eat the fat and drink the sweet, and have come to think that this was all for which they were redeemed. Their compassions have failed. They've had no weeping eyes over perishing sinners. In fact, they have thought it a sign of being unsound to care about saving sinners at all. May God keep you from being flattered into this net, lest you become pierced through with many sorrows. To the Bible only you must look. Test every new idea with this touchstone, to the law and to the testimony. Require a thus saith the Lord from every flattering notion. The old book is our infallible guide. Now, let us read the passage in which Bunyan describes the pilgrim's release from the net. At last they espied a shining one coming towards them with a whip of small cord in his hand. When he was come to the place where they were, he asked them whence they came and what they did there. They told him that they were poor pilgrims going to Zion, but were led out of their way by a black man clothed in white, who bid us, said they, follow him, for he was going thither too. Then said he with the whip, It is flatterer, a false apostle, that hath transformed himself into an angel of light. And so he rent the net and let the men out. Then he said to them, follow me, that I may set you in your way again. So he led them back to the way which they had left to follow the flatterer. Then he asked them, saying, where did you lie last night? And they said, with the shepherds, upon the Delectable Mountains. He asked them then if they had not of those shepherds a note of direction for the way. They answered, yes. But did you, said he, when you were at a stand, pluck out and read your note? They answered, no. He asked them, why? They said, they forgot. He asked, moreover, if the shepherds did not bid them beware of the flatterer. They answered, yes. But we did not imagine, said they, that this fine-spoken man had been he. Then I saw in my dream that he commanded them to lie down, which, when they did, he chastised them sore, to teach them the good way wherein they should walk. And as he chastised them, he said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. This done, he bid them go on their way, and take good heed to the other directions of the shepherds. So they thanked him for all his kindness, and went softly along the right way, singing, come hither, you that walk along the way, see how the pilgrims fare that go astray. They catch it are in an entangling net, cause they good counsel lightly did forget. 'Tis true, they rescued were, but yet you see, they're scourged to boot. Let this your caution be. When a Christian gets into the net of self-righteousness, he is sure to be delivered because he belongs to the Lord, who will not suffer him to be destroyed. But the Shining One, who comes to deliver him out of the net, will certainly bring a scourge of small cords with him and will chasten him again and again, until he is willing to walk humbly with his God. Alas, how soon we get high looks and a proud bearing. We dream that we need not come crouching at the cross foot as other sinners do. I heard one say that he had not prayed for forgiveness of sin for 12 months. He had had his sins forgiven years ago. But when the Lord gives us a good dose of bitters and makes us drink of the waters of Marah, we ask to be washed as Peter did when he changed his mind and said, Lord, and not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Then we feel the need of the daily application of the precious blood, and we're willing to stand with the poor publican and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. We must be chastened to keep us low. A good old countryman now in heaven said to me as I was walking with him in the field where he was plowing many years ago, ah, Master Spurgeon, if I get 1 inch above the ground, I get that inch too high. I have to come down again. So shall we. We must cling to the faith that owns that Christ is our all in all. If the flatterer leads us astray, woe will be unto us. So will it be, I believe, with Christian men and women who, having received a blessing in any church, are induced to turn aside from it. As a bird that wandereth from her nest, so is a man that wandereth from his place. Many such have been well chastened and have had to come back to their old church again and have rejoiced once more to sit with the Lord's people, with whom they had happy fellowship in days gone by. End of Spurgeon. Now let's move back to Bunyan. Now after a while, they perceived afar off one coming softly and alone all along the highway to meet them. Then said Christian to his fellow, yonder is a man with his back toward Zion, and he's coming to meet us. Hopeful said, I see him. Let's take heed to ourselves now, lest he should prove a flatterer also. So he drew nearer and nearer, and at last came up upon them. His name was Atheist, and he asked them whither they were going. Christian said, we're going to the Mount Zion. And then Atheist fell into a very great laughter. What is the meaning of your laughter? I laugh to see what ignorant persons you are, to take upon you so tedious a journey, and yet I like to have nothing but your travel for your pains. Why, man, do you think we shall not be received? Received? There is no such place as you dream of in all this world. But there is in the world to come. When I was at home in my own country, I heard, as you now affirm, and from that hearing I went out to see. I've been seeking this city these 20 years, but I find no more of it than I did the first day I set out. We have both heard and believe that there is such a place to be found. Had not I, when at home, believed, I had not come thus far to seek, but finding none, yet I should have had there been such a place to be found, for I have gone to seek it further than you, I am not going back again. I'll seek to refresh myself with the things that I then cast away, for hopes of that which I now see is not. Then said Christian to Hopeful, his fellow, is it true which this man has said? Take heed, Hopeful said, he's one of the flatterers. Remember what it hath cost us once already for our hearkening to such kind of fellows. What? No Mount Zion? Did we not see from the delectable mountains the gate of the city? Also, are we not now to walk by faith? Let us go on, said Hopeful, lest the man with the whip overtake us again. You should have taught me that lesson, which I will round you in the ears withal. Cause my son to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. I say, my brother, cease to hear him, and let us believe to the saving of the soul. Christian said, my brother, I did not put the question to thee, for that I doubted of the truth of our belief myself, but to prove thee, and to fetch from thee a fruit of the honesty of thy heart. As for this man, I know that he is blinded by the god of this world. Let thee and I go on, knowing that we have belief of the truth, and no lie is of the truth. Now do I rejoice in hope of the glory of God, said Hopeful. And so they turned away from the man, and he, laughing at them, went his way. Let's move over to Spurgeon again. Yes, we're ready for another word from him called The Enchanted Ground, which we will be entering via Bunyan soon. Spurgeon says, as the spiritual guide of the flock of God along the intricate mazes of experience, it is the duty of the gospel minister to point out every turning of the road to heaven, to speak concerning its dangers and its privileges, and to warn any whom he may suspect to be in a position peculiarly perilous. Now, there is a portion of the road which leadeth from the city of destruction to the celestial city, which has in it, perhaps, more dangers than any other part of the way. It doth not abound with lions. There are no dragons in it. It hath no dark woods and no deep pitfalls. Yet more seeming pilgrims have been destroyed in that portion of the road than anywhere else. Not even Doubting Castle, with all of its host of bones, can show so many who have been slain there. It is the part of the road called the Enchanted Ground. Tomorrow we'll find out how John Bunyan pictured the Enchanted Ground as we continue listening to Spurgeon 2. What a trip we're on. We're only on a verbal trip, though. You and I, as we go away from the words, are on the real trip. And I trust that these daily offerings are helping you on that trip, and that's the one that counts. If you're here at the site, you are also, you have access to many other things that I've put up there. One of them is basically a course on the Quran. A course on the Quran. And I'd like you to just check through my readings and writings on the, and speakings on the website that you're at. And you'll see a believer's guide to the Quran. I hope that you'll look it up. Tomorrow we'll continue where we're at today, talking about the enchanted ground. We started today with Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20. If they do not speak according to this word, it's because they have no light.